Hello, and welcome to the weekly sermon podcast of Harvest Church here in Elk Grove. We're excited to have you join us as we share God's message of hope and love. Each week, we bring you a new message from our pastors and guest speakers designed to inspire, uplift your spirits, and challenge you. Whether you're listening on your commute, at home, or on a walk, we hope these messages will bring you closer to God and help you on your faith journey. So without further ado, let's listen in.
God is good. If you have your Bibles, you can go to James chapter 1. All right. If you don't mind, just stand with me. I'm going to pray for us. We're going to pray for the lost, and then we're going to pray for this sermon. Amen. Praise God. Father, we just thank you, Lord God. We love you and we bless you. Father, we pray right now in the name of Jesus that you would help us to reach the lost people of Elk Grove, Sac County, and Northern California. God, there are hundreds of thousands of people in this region and in this city who do not know you. They don't have a relationship with you, or they know you and they're disconnected from a place of worship and a body of believers. God, I pray that you would help us to be effective in gathering the harvest as we go out, Father God, into our communities, our shopping centers, our schools, Father, our universities, wherever we are. Help us to reach multitudes of lost people. God, I pray, Father, by the hundreds and by the thousands, we would bring people into the kingdom of God, that they would experience the resurrected Christ, that they would experience salvation, healing, forgiveness, mercy, goodness, blessings. They would be delivered, Father, from addictions and strongholds, that they would encounter the living God. Let Harvest Church be the hands and the feet of Jesus in our community. And Father, I also pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you would just anoint this word, give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation, enlighten the eyes of our understanding that we might know you, give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and the heart to perceive what the Spirit of the living God is saying, that we might turn to be healed. God, I pray you've established the word of God in the heavens. Now establish it in our hearts. Be glorified and exalted, and let us grow in you and go to a level we never imagined possible. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. You may be seated. Amen. God is so good, isn't he? See, oh man, I'm about to get in trouble real quick. It's not even spiritual. All right, so my Sacramento Kings fans... Oh, Jesus. Listen. Oh, boy. Yeah. Pastor Nelson, where you at, man? Your brother left the stage. Come on. Listen. My Kings fans. Look, it's all good. Next season. No, I'm not hating. You guys just need some dogs on your team. You need some. I don't know if you've ever seen a pit bull, because I know it's illegal, but you ever seen those pit bulls in the backyard with a chain around them? That dog will eat you for breakfast. You need some dogs like that on your team. If you just get a couple of dogs like that, you guys are phenomenal talent. You just need some dogs, amen. To get you some dogs for next season, you guys are gonna, it's gonna be good, amen. Now look, that's good advice. Is that not true? I'm saying, amen. All right. Hey, that's a good word. Thank you, brother. Amen. I'm just trying to help you all out. Amen. All right, who's ready for the word? Yeah. Let's get into this. Amen. So let's talk about the prayer of Jabez. This is part three of the prayer of Jabez. That did not go over so well. I was trying to give like some sincere heart advice. All right, I'm moving on. Help me out, baby. Help me out. All right. So the prayer, let's stay with me on the sermon at least. Amen. Y'all, we come back for the sermon. The prayer of Jabez has two primary components that I want to talk with you about today. Number one, the first part of the prayer of Jabez that we need to understand this from the mind of God is this: God's ability to answer prayers. God's ability to answer prayers. And then the second component is his desire to answer prayers. So we know that God has the ability to answer prayers, and I'm going to talk to you about that in a moment, but I also want to talk to you about God's desire to answer prayer, because one of the biggest challenges that I found with reading and studying the Bible is reading and discovering who God is, how God relates to people, and how does that apply to our lives. I'm going to say that again, because I really feel like that's something that you need to write down. Number one, when you study the Bible, you're trying to discover who God is, how God relates to people, and then how does that relate to us in our modern time. If you can begin to understand those components, who he is, how he connects or relates to people in the scriptures, and then how does that apply to our lives, then your reading of the Bible will be exponentially greater, and your understanding and the impact in your life will be much better, because God will reveal himself to us. But if there's a disconnect in how you see him, then the benefits of who God is will not come into your life, because you may not have the capacity to understand how he wants to relate to us as people. And I want to talk to this in these two components. So let's first talk about God's ability to answer prayer. James chapter 1 and verse 17 says this. It says, Whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heaven. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. Or as it says in the New King James Version, it says, every good and perfect gift comes from heaven above. Amen. So that means the source of all blessings, you guys bring me down these monitors some. That means the source of all blessings, it comes from the Lord. So even people who say things like, well, I worked hard, I did this, I put the hours in, I put the time in. Here's the reality. Even if you worked hard, God gave you the ability to have the health to do what you did. God gave you the strength and the energy to carry out whatever it is that you did. So even if you worked hard, God gave you the capacity to do it, because every good and perfect gift comes from where? From the Lord, from heaven above. So that's God's ability to answer prayers. Now let's talk about his desire. His desire is found in Isaiah 63 and verse 7, and it says this. It says, I will tell of the Lord's unfailing love. I will praise the Lord for all he has done. I will rejoice in his great goodness to Israel, which he has granted according to his mercy and love. So Isaiah is praising God because of what God has done in his life and what he was doing in the nation. So there was an element of appreciation and gratitude that went forth, because God is one who answers prayers and God desires to answer prayers. But why is that so? God desires to answer our prayers so that we will give him glory. When we pray and we know the answer has come from the Lord, then our natural expression of our hearts is to give God glory. Do you hear what I'm saying? Nathan, come here. Come to the stage, sir, please. Thank you. Everybody give Nathan a hand clap. How are you doing today? I'm good. Who are you rooting for on Friday? That's a joke. Don't answer that. Amen. That was a pop quiz. So, I just want to give this to you. What did you say?
Thank you.
Thank you?
Yeah.
You're welcome. God bless.
Thank you.
All right. Amen. Oh, wait, I'm sorry, Nathan. Come back. So, for those who didn't see, what did I give you?
$20 bill.
And what did you say?
Thank you.
Why did you tell me thank you?
because you gave me something that means a lot to some people.
Okay. Amen. Praise God. Thank you so much. Amen. Let me ask you a question. Did I have to beg him to say thank you? Did I have to plead with him to say thank you? Did I even ask him to say thank you? He said thank you twice. He didn't just say it once. He said thank you. Then he looked at me again. He looked and then thank you, right? Because in blessing him, his natural response was what? Was thanksgiving, gratitude, appreciation. So one of the things that we need to understand about the Lord is that when God answers our prayers, our natural expression to the Lord and answer the prayer is gratitude. God doesn't have to beg for it. It's just like, wow, God, you did this for me. Thank you. I appreciate it. And this is what happens. The more that we express our gratitude to God out of thanksgiving for what he has done, the more glory God gets and receives when we do it. Amen. So when we understand as we're reading through this prayer, Jabez, this is the natural expression of gratitude to God answering our prayers and God receiving glory because we are thankful and grateful for what he has done. This is the reason why in worship, it's so important that when we do worship, we're not doing the songs just to get something going on so that you can clap, but we're trying to thank God and tell God how grateful we are for being saved and having life and being able to come together and to do things together. This is an act and an expression of gratitude and thanksgiving. And the Bible says that God inhabits the praises of his people. That means that literally the presence of God comes into the place where people are thankful and grateful and praising and lifting up his name. God will come into midst of people who are exalting him. That's the reason why when God comes into an atmosphere where people are getting praise or people are praising him and giving him glory, then people get healed and no one's even praying for him. That's the reason why God touches your emotions and you feel loved in that moment. You're like, man, God, why do I feel loved? Because as you're lifting him up and exalting him, you're sensing his love and his approval and his goodness. Sometimes that's why God comes in and convicts you to let you know, like, hey, I have better for you. Let go of this thing that's destructive in your life because I really love you and I don't want you to be a part of something that's destructive or unhealthy. And you feel that conviction. And in that moment, you yield because you recognize God is correcting you because he loves you, not because he's trying to hurt you. Amen? So when we praise God, God comes into the atmosphere. So let me talk to you. I'm going to give you five components about the blessing of Jabez and what God does in our lives when we are open to him. And he wants us to understand who he is, not who we think he happens to be. So number one, God wants you to pray the Jabez blessing and specific request to bring you joy. God gets excited when his children are happy. Amen. John, how many people know that? I'm going to be honest. If you had asked me that years ago, I don't think I would have believed that. I don't think I would have looked at it like God's excited to answer my prayers. It's more like, well, God, you have the power to answer, but I don't know about your excitement level. But as we study the scriptures and as I'm going through this teaching, I'm beginning to realize that there's something that God's getting out of answering the prayers of his children, his sons and his daughters. John 15:7 says this, but if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. He said, if you remain in me and my word remains in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. The word ask here in the Greek is not a suggestion. It is a command. Jesus is telling them, I'm telling you to ask so that my Father can answer prayer so that he would be glorified and you may be filled with joy in the response of God answering your prayer and you're receiving this blessing. Amen. God is excited when we are excited about him answering our prayers. One of the things that Pastor Elizabeth and I love this, but I love feeding people good food. Amen. I took Pastor Gary, Pastor Randy, and Pastor Nelson to New Orleans last year for the Louisiana outpouring, and I fed them beignets, not just one beignet. I fed them beignets from three different locations. Not once, not twice, but three times. And I literally took them to three of the best beignet places in the world. I took them to Cafe Du Monde, which is famous. I took them to Morning Call, and I took them to Antoine's. And every time we left, amen, every time we left one of those places, they were like, oh, my God, I can't believe these beignets taste so good. And they were like, blessed, but I'm sitting there like, yeah. I'm excited that they are joyful about what they're experiencing. Do you know your God is excited when he is answering our prayers, and then we are filled with joy by the response, and his heart is filled that his children are being blessed, and we're like, thank you, God. You are so good. And God's saying, yes, I love being good to my children. I love expressing my goodness towards my sons and my daughters. Hallelujah. Once again, God receives glory when we ask him for something and he answers and we give him glory. Even if we don't verbally give God glory, when we have to describe and tell people what God's doing in our life, do you know God's even receiving glory at our description of how God's moving in our lives? Amen. Sometimes when we're ungrateful and we're not giving God the level of glory he deserves, and people begin to ask us about what's happening in our lives, and we describe it, and they're like, wow, praise God. You're like, what are you talking about? Well, I recognize, even though you may not give him glory, that it's by the hand of God that you're being blessed. So if you don't give him glory, I'm going to give him glory. But God is being glorified when he expresses himself in the lives of his people. Number two, God delights in blessing his children and is blessed when we are filled with joy. Psalm 35, 27 says this, let the Lord be magnified who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. Let the Lord be magnified who has pleasure or takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. God is blessed when he can be a blessing to us. My barber, he's not here today. He's out of town. But last week, he came to the church for the first time ever. And I thought, I was so excited when I saw him come in and gave me a big hug. And I said, brother, all of these fresh fades, I mean, you keep me looking good on Sunday. We laughed about it. And I remember last year, I brought him coffee from Spain. And then there are times and moments where I'll bring him lunch to the barber shop, and he would look at me like, why are you bringing me lunch? And I said, I just want to bless you. And he was like, well, I said, well, I'll give you a discount off of your haircut. And I said, I don't want a discount. I'm going to pay you fully for the haircut, and I'm going to give you a full tip. I just want to be a blessing to you. And then when I gave him the invitation to Easter at the park, he was like, I'm going. And not only did he come, but he brought another barber from the barber shop to our Easter at the park. And then he came back last Sunday and showed up at church, and he had his little friend, and the friend heard the gospel as well. And all I could hear the Lord saying to me is, son, you remember when you sowed those seeds of blessing into his life last year and brought him the coffee? And you remember those times when you brought him lunch? God says you are sowing in his life so that you can reap a harvest of his soul. Amen. I don't want a financial reward. I want to see my barber go to heaven and be in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I'm grateful that God has blessed me financially, because I'm using my financial resources to sow into the soul of a person's life. Amen. Number three. God wants you to persist in seeking, knocking, and asking for your desired blessing. God wants you to persist in asking. Matthew 7:7 says this. It says, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and everyone who knocks, the door will be open. Verse 11. So if you are being sinful, if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask Him? Amen. God wants us to persist in asking. Why? Because in the asking and the persisting, there is time spent with God. People who love you want to spend time with you. God doesn't want you to just do a drive-by prayer like, hey, God, I need this from you. I'll see you next week. Hey, God, I need this from you. I'll catch you in 2025. Could it be that sometimes God withholds the prayers that we're asking, not because He doesn't have the ability to answer or even the desire, but He just wants a little more time from us, and He knows the only time we may come and pay Him a visit is when we're asking for something that we have need of? Come on. See, we need to get past the sugar daddy version of Christianity. Ooh, Jesus. Jesus, I need my nails done. I'ma just drop by real quick. No. Somebody caught that. No, Jesus, I'ma come and spend some time with you. And I am so grateful that you give me the privilege to spend time with you. I'm thankful, Lord. I love you. I love being in your presence. Do you know that God will withhold no good thing from those who love Him? That's what the Word of God says. If we can get to the place where we love Him and spend time with Him just because He is good and we enjoy the pleasure of His presence, there is nothing that God's going to withhold from His sons and His daughters. Amen? Come on. He just wants a little time. Just look at your neighbor and say, Jesus just wants a little time with you. Come on. We're going to get delivered from that spirit of drive-by in 2024. Amen? We're going to stop doing them drive-by prayers. Drop in and drop out prayers. Come on, Lord. Number four. Praise God. God wants us to praise Him privately and publicly and bless Him for His loving kindness towards us. Psalm 103:1-2 says this, let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart, I will praise His holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things He has done for me. Man, God wants us to praise Him in secret and in public for His goodness towards us. I said this in the first service, but it's so easy to bless people who are grateful and thankful. When people are not thankful and grateful, we might bless them, but we may think about it for a moment, but do it just because we're good. But man, when someone is appreciative of what you've done for them, when someone is grateful for how you acknowledge them for how good they've been to you or how great of a blessing they've been, it's easy to do something for those people. And I believe the Lord is so grateful. I know He is grateful and thankful when we bless Him and praise Him publicly and privately. Amen. Now, let me say this. This is for free. This is for your neighbor. I'm talking to your neighbor. I'm not talking to you right now. God doesn't want us to praise Him publicly to be seen by man, but never do it privately. Don't be one of the people that run up to the altar. Jesus! And like, how much of that you did at the house? Zero. But I'm going to show out when I get to church. We don't want to do that. We want our praise to be an expression of our heart's gratitude towards the Lord. Amen. Amen. And last but not least, number five, present to the Lord a secret blessing offering for a very special blessing. Psalm 116:12. the psalmist says, what can I offer the Lord for all he has done for me? This was an offering of gratitude, the offering of thanksgiving, an offering of appreciation. I'm saying this only to the glory of God, and I don't think I've ever shared this publicly, but for the sake of the illustration and the point, when I worked at the car dealerships, there were some months where God allowed me to have phenomenal financial months, just blowout months. And I remember Pastor Elizabeth and I, we stopped tithing 10%. We started giving 15%+. And there was a family, there was a lady who was a widow that we started paying her mortgage and start paying for her housing because God had blessed us so much out of gratitude. We said, God, we want to bring you glory. And we did it secretly and privately because we were so thankful that we wanted to bless. Because we said, God, we recognize that what's happening is not because of us. This is the blessing of the Lord. And I remember going back after that, and I would walk into the dealership, and people walk up to me like, hey, are you John Smith? I said, yes, I am. They said, my friend bought a car from you 4 or 5 months ago, and they told me they had a phenomenal experience, and I'm here to buy a vehicle from you today. I said, I already have my car picked out. We don't have to negotiate. Just get me the car. Let me sign the contract, and let's do the deal. And I'm like, what? And the Lord says, son, remember how you sold out of gratitude and appreciation? He said, this is why you're reaping this level of abundance. But the more God blessed, the more out of gratitude I wanted to give back, amen? The more I wanted to serve, the more I wanted to help. This is what the psalmist said. What can I offer the Lord for all he has done for me? When we think about God, we want to think about appreciation and gratitude. God delights in blessing his children and responding to his loved ones, because the more that he does for us, the greater appreciation we should have. It should just be the natural expression of saying, Lord, thank you. I'm grateful. Amen. Come on, if we're like Nate, what will God withhold from us? Come on, somebody. Worship team, you can come up. Altar team, if you're here, you can get in position. God is glorified in our lives when we acknowledge him for his blessings he's bestowed on us. I recognize that I don't deserve God's goodness. And I'm not saying that in false humility. I really do. But I am so grateful and thankful. And sometimes I'm like, even when I was working on this yesterday, I just started like tearing up and crying a little bit. I said, wow, God, why are you blessing us so much? And God says, because you're grateful. Because you recognize that it's my hand upon you. And you understand that I am the source. And because you do, I'm going to continue to bless you, because I get joy when you're filled up with excitement. And I get glory when you thank me for what I've done. I'm like, ooh, too good to me, Jesus. Amen. You can stand with me.
Thank you for listening to our sermon podcast. We pray that today's message has touched your heart and encouraged your spirit. We believe that the Word of God has the power to transform our lives and inspire us to be better versions of ourselves. If you enjoyed today's podcast, please share it with your friends and family. And don't forget to subscribe to our channel for more inspirational messages. Until next time, may the good Lord bless you. And we look forward to seeing you at one of our weekend services and sharing with you once again next week.